Tonight, Colin Callas in studio telling us about a guy you've not heard of who's changing the world in ways you cannot imagine. But he is a guy, Colin, who my life could depend on one day. This guy,
if not already, and there certainly are many South Africans who I think would. And he is probably, when I say the segue, you say, oh, that guy, yeah, but that was a flop, wasn't it? And that's kind of the starting point for this thing, because I am not going to have enough time to run through the things that he has built and devised and solved in the slot we have available. We do write it up as an article, so there is always that available afterwards. But he has done so much, it really did leave me staggered, including the big one, solving the world's water crisis. And it's not just access to water, it's how much of it is dirty and how difficult it is to get water clean, which he managed to do. And it starts with this principle you'll find coming up in a lot of other innovations and tech things, etc. The adjacent possible. And
he, Okay. Now, this is Dean Kamen, right?
That's his name.
Dean Kamen is a guy who's got 440 US and foreign patents.
Correct.
He invented the Segway, or at least the mechanism that made the Segway possible.
Correct.
He can figure out how to clean filthy water. We need to get him here.
Yes, and he has actually been here a couple of times. He intersects with South Africa on a couple of occasions. And I'm so tempted just to start rambling off here at 100 miles an hour to try and fit in all the stuff this guy's done. But I have to take it slowly, because otherwise I will just irritate people. So here's how it starts. He is an engineer at a Technicon, well, at a polytechnic in the US. He drops out because he invents a very precision-controlled syringe. He calls it the auto syringe. He refines it after dropping out and sells it for a huge profit to a big pharmaceutical company. The range of syringes that he had developed at the time he sold his company is probably being used right now. And there might be diabetics who are using ones that you wear on you that will automatically give you specific amounts of insulin to prevent those sort of crashes and difficulty with that. So it's used right around the world. That was what kicked it off. He then creates a company called Decca. And I mentioned the name of the company simply because he's got a bit of a thing about names. And Decca is the worst one of his, because it's the D-E of Dean and the K-A of Kamen. And so it goes on from here. You've mentioned the 400 patents. I told you he dropped out. He now has 11 honorary doctorates for the stuff he's done, including one from Yale. So the first thing he goes and builds in his new Decca company, because he's kind of a biomedical kind of guy. He's an absolute crazy nutter genius professor kind of thing, is he gets commissioned to work on a dialysis machine. Then you had to go to hospitals. You had to spend a long time, very big, bulky, difficult machines to use. And they said, you know, could you make this a little small, a little easier, a little more portable? He says, I'll go one better. He not only allowed you to take this thing home, you could do dialysis in your sleep with a tiny little machine. Result, they've been used all over the world. He also built some surgical pumps using tubing, very cheap and cheap to manufacture. 200 million of these things are being used in hospitals and homes and clinics all around the world. But there was a catch with this dialysis machine. It needed very pure water. So he had to come up with a means to create very pure water. Otherwise, the poor person with this fancy, small, highly efficient dialysis machine had to keep a whole bunch of packs of this water. So he built a water purification system. This is the adjacent possible. Once he designed that, he could start thinking about the world's real big problem. And he says 50% of the people who are filling up hospital beds at the moment are there because of an issue with waterborne diseases, toxic water. And he says, even if you take out the people who are ill and sitting in hospital and straining economies because of the medical bills, those who have to go and find potable water are spending a lot of time that they could be productively building economies in developing countries where that would really help. In a South African context, a lot of people talking about acid water and dew and all that stuff. He says, you give me any water source, and he doesn't care. I mean, basically, unless it's radioactive, you can stick a pipe into that water. You run this machine, and it'll give you 1,000 liters per day for this unit. And that's kind of pretty impressive for most communities, because you're not looking to try and build this massive thing deployed across governments. You can take it to towns and regional areas and whatever else, as long as it's near a river or any body of water, 1,000 liters of water coming out per day.
I love this idea of the adjacent possible. And it's almost like, what on earth was the space race for? Why did we bother putting people on the moon? However, the technological advances that have come through doing the slightly crazy stuff, like creating the take-home dialysis machine, which then forced thinking on purifying water, it's the adjacent possible. It has applications beyond what were originally intended.
Yes, and when you hear that term, you'll start seeing that cropping up everywhere, possibly even in your own business, for thinking, this is what I do, what could I do similarly but will take me forward? And here's another story that fits with it. So he's in the news recently because Toyota has spent a huge amount of investment on mobility. And he built, one of his first devices he built was a thing called an iBot. Cue weird name things. It's not an iBot because he was pre-Steve Jobs. It's called an iBot because he said people in wheelchairs go around always having to look up at people, and he wanted people in wheelchairs to be able to see you at eye level. So he built a platform that would rise up from a four-wheel wheelchair to a two-wheel wheelchair. See Segway stuff coming along, and would auto-balance. It could climb stairs. It could do all that sort of amazing stuff. In fact, these are the kind of devices you're going to see at that Cyberathlon coming up later this year. His invention. From the iBot, which he was busy building for people obviously are disabled, he said, you know what? There's so many of these big cars in cities, and there's so many more people in cities. We cannot be using cars for getting around in cities anymore. I need something to get us past walking and before cars. Hence, the Segway. That's why he called it that and why I created it. Now there's where, you know, his story really does hit the skids, because he wasn't looking to make this thing what it was made out to in 2001. Steve Jobs supposedly had said he's seen the project that Dean Kamen's working on, and it's going to change the world. And when Steve Jobs says something like that, and the media hear him saying something like that, and they don't know what it is, they go crazy. And they did. And so basically, when they finally said it's a two-wheel self-balancing transportation device, everybody said, huh? What? Don't. And, you know, the rest is kind of history for where that went. It's still around. You can still buy them, but they're expensive. Nobody's really made them massively cheap. In fact, here's another little bit for the name thing. So the iBot, they called in their workshop Fred. And the Segway was named Ginger, as in Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. The two went together, and that's what they did. But that's the adjacent possible. The iBot got us to the Segway. The Segway got us to all of these other self-balancing things. And you're probably going to hate these hoverboards and whatever else, but that's his technology inside those things.
But that's what's so amazing. And now, I mean, it makes some kids lazy, rich kids lazy, because they can now zoot about to school and around the playground and stuff. But it's the fun stuff that it makes possible. Leonard in Boxburg has got some insights into Dean, how do you pronounce it? Kamen. Dean Kamen. Tell me about him, Leonard. Have you met him?
Hi, Bruce.
Yes, Leonard.
Yes, about 10 years ago, the idea behind the Segway was a project that Professor Kamen was involved in. It was called the Ginger Project.
Yes.
And how he got to the particular Ginger Project and the outcome of what we have today as the Segway is one day he was sitting in the shower, standing in the shower, and he slipped, and before cracking his head on the back of the shower, he found that without thinking, he had he protected himself. He put his arms out, and he had protected himself from something, you know, quite dangerous. And that led him to think that he could come up with something, an invention which later was the gyroscopes, the gyrobots, which basically, you know, once you create an action, it creates an opposite and equal reaction, and these little gyroscopes, you know, prevent you from falling over. And that's basically where the premise of his thinking came from, which was the basis of his Ginger Project, which later became, you know, the production of the Segway, the idea behind Segway.
His eureka moment in the shower. Leonard in Boxburg, thank you for that insight. Yeah, I mean, who says thinking in the shower isn't useful? A lot of people have some of their best moments in the shower. Colin, I mean, this guy is changing the world in ways we weren't even aware of. We're familiar with the technology. We see it all the time. But very seldom do we actually think of the origins of this stuff. And he is changing the world probably as much as Thomas Edison did in his day.
Maybe even more, because one of the things he was disappointed with is how many kids could name the names of big popular athletes but couldn't name a single scientist or engineer who contributed to humanity's achievements. So he started an NGO called FIRST, for the inspiration and recognition of science and technology. Over 300,000 kids now participate this in around the world. And yes, South Africa has sent a team to go and compete. They build robots and smash them into each other and try and get them to do things that otherwise kids never would have had the opportunity to do. And while I said, you know, this is the kind of guy who wants to put a dent in the universe, he's not really believing that he will. But he is absolutely assured that the kids he's trying to inspire, the kids that are currently working through that program, they are going to change the world. And he takes inspiration from a quote attributed to Albert Einstein, who said, "Intellectuals solve problems. Geniuses prevent them." And I've got a final story for you for how we tried to do that.
Okay, tell it.
The US military approach him and say, listen, you can do amazing robotic stuff. We've got a bunch of soldiers returning and the prosthetics available for their arms are terrible. Our arms are hugely dexterous in ways we don't appreciate. It can move in 22 different ways. Most prosthetic arms that are available move in 3. A lot of people, and I didn't realize this, who have prosthetic limbs simply take them off because they're not worth the trouble. So he set aside building a robotic arm, the same weight as an arm, the same shape as an arm, but able to move. And he got 18 out of the 21, 22 things that it can move in. Absolutely amazing. But he said, that's just solving a problem. I want to prevent it. So he built the robotic arms attached to one of his iBot platforms, and he sold it to mines. And he came to a South African gold mine, apparently, because they have a massive problem with people having to set charges, explosive charges in mines. That when those things go off and they don't mean to, you lose a life, you lose a limb. So send a machine down, because if anything does happen to go wrong, it's just stuff. You just build one again. So he prevented people losing arms rather than replacing arms for people who lost them. And this, the slingshot thing, and there's a documentary out. In fact, if people got Netflix, you'll find it on there. And it's been shown a couple of places. Is really inspirational. But, and this is the big but, and I really wish everyone would just get involved in here. He made a great partnership with Coca-Cola, and one of the trial areas for the slingshot thing was supposed to be South Africa. But it appears to have stalled. Of about a year ago, it's all gone quiet. Decker's not talking about it much, and neither is Coke. And these are expensive machines, R1.5 million a piece. So what it requires is somebody who says, I think this is a great idea, and we need to ramp up the production so we can reduce the costs and then get it deployed everywhere. So possible entrepreneurs, possible people who see and like the adjacent possible would love to do something in sorting out water. And gosh, South Africa certainly can say, sure, clean water, we'll sign up for that. To get involved, get this project working, and possibly bring the guy out here or whatever. Because I think there's something that we can benefit from this guy for all of us.
The amazing story this evening by Colin Cullis, our Business Unusual correspondent, of a man unusual, Dean Kamen, K-A-M-E-N. Google the guy. He is absolutely extraordinary. And he's a guy who could have a very big impact on South Africa. Very nice segue, by the way, Colin.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield was brought to you by Absa Corporate and Investment Banking, bringing you award-winning trade and working capital funding solutions to unlock the full potential of your business story. Absa is a registered FSP.